This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you are going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select Eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller, lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
I'm exhausted.
Why are you exhausted?
Because the good Lord would like me to abstain from food and drink.
And sexual relations.
With myself.
Or others.
Well, yes. Happy Ramadan.
It's day two of the blessed month of Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak to our listeners who are observing.
I think on this podcast, you should say Ramzan. You should really lean into instead of Ramadan.
You know, I don't think that I say Ramzan that much.
I've never said Ramzan in my life.
Okay, well, that's not true. I think the only time I say Ramzan is when I'm talking in Urdu, and that is with the grown-ups. But even if I'm talking in Urdu to a person who is my peer, I don't say Ramzan. I say Ramadan.
Now, when you say peer, do you mean somebody who's a friend or a master? Because a peer in Urdu is a teacher. I have lost my mind today.
Not a peer. I meant a peer in English, not a peer in Urdu.
And not a peer like where you talk about.
We are 50 minutes away from the time to break fast. And
ooh, 51 for me.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Are you waking up for the suhoors, for the seris?
I woke up yesterday at 5, mm-hmm. and then I promptly went to sleep for 58 minutes. And then I woke up and I drank 64 ounces of water and I prayed mm-hmm. and I went to sleep. And then I think I pissed myself. no, I woke up at like 9:30. Today mm-hmm. I did not wake up at all.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that that has added to your lunacy?
No, I think that's a way better.
No.
No. Why would you say that?
Listen, I'm sorry.
No, I think sleep is more important than food. That's what I would say.
I agree. I agree. Because yesterday I woke up at 5:15. I did the morning thing. And then I just stayed up.
What? Morning thing. What? What's the morning thing? Did you eat? What'd you eat?
Yeah, I did. I've, you know, I love me some Lebna eggs. I love to make my little garlic Lebna and a fried egg with a crusty piece of sourdough bread. And I dip, dip, dip. And it's so yummy. So I have that. I have my big old cup of coffee. And I drank 52 ounces of water. And then I proceeded to pee from 6 a.m. to 8:30. Just every 15 minutes.
That's the thing. I had to go to sleep right away because I knew the second that I start peeing again, it's not stopping. It's not stopping. So I didn't have like the best sleep after the prayer.
Yeah. So because I stayed up yesterday, I did not like the way I felt. And then on my way to the office, I was like, this is unsafe. Nobody should be driving in this condition because I was sleepy. And it was really cold and I got my warm car and I was like, oh, this is a nice place to take a little nap. But I couldn't do that because I was driving. And then I came home from work and during my lunch hour, I took a nap and I woke up to the sound of somebody pinging me saying, hey, you gonna join this call or not? And I was like, oh, God, I'm 3 minutes late. And then, so yesterday was tough. Today, I woke up, I made my breakfast, and then I came up to my bed to eat the rest of my breakfast. And so I ate my breakfast in bed and I had my coffee in bed and I drank my water in bed. And then right after prayer, I promptly went to sleep. I was like, nice. You know what? You just go to sleep. And I was in and out because I had to go to the bathroom a million times. And then I slept right after the kids left for school. I slept from like not to school. They woke up and went downstairs and did their breakfast thing with their grandparents. From 7:45 or 8 to around 10, I slept. And it was amazing. And I feel refreshed. I would even say the day has gone by quickly. Like, I can't believe that it's over in 45 minutes. So I think you're absolutely right that the sleep is the most important thing. Because I didn't eat as much breakfast this morning as I did yesterday. Yesterday, I ate way more food. This morning, I could barely take down one piece of bread with some cottage cheese. Like, that was it. Do you like cottage cheese?
I don't think I've had cottage cheese in many a moon. I want to say I haven't had cottage cheese since, I'm going to say, 2003. Just randomly.
Okay. You know, our dad used to, I'm sure if he had the capability right now to eat the food, he would. But he was a big fan of cottage cheese.
Is he? I can add cottage cheese to the mix, if that's what you think.
Yeah,
he
I think so.
It's on my face, then it's on you.
He'll say, I haven't had this since 2003. And you'll be like, Daddy, you're talking. Anyway, dark
he
stuff.
He talks. I'm going to ask you a question about this coffee. So yesterday when I woke up at 5, I woke up with the intention. I was like, I can drink coffee right now. Like, this is the reason why I want to get up. But then I decided not to. And then today I was thinking about it. I was like, well, maybe I want to drink coffee. But I didn't miss it yesterday. So like usually I have like this big coffee headache, right? No headache at all yesterday and no headache today. So now I'm thinking maybe I don't need to drink as much coffee as I usually do.
You don't. Last year during Ramadan is when I discovered that I only need max one cup a day. So all of Ramadan last year, I basically went not really having coffee and I was only drinking a ton of water. So for me, what I've discovered is if my sleep is good and I get really, really good hydration, wallahi, brother, I am good.
Hey, that works because we're Muslim and also I'm your brother.
Hey! Did you hear who else became Muslim?
I did.
Somebody said my favorite tweet about it was right in time for the blessed month of Scamadon.
Oh, boy.
Listeners.
You think it's because he watched Dune 2?
No, hold on. Listeners. Scam artist, grifter extraordinaire Sean King is and his wife have converted to Islam.
They have embraced the light.
Islam, yeah.
Yes.
Right in time for, as I mentioned, Scamadon. Somebody said he's going to be grifting facing east 5 times a day. it's just the internet has been so good with Sean King. Do I think that it's because of Dune? I don't know. You tell me. You're the one Dune too much.
I don't know if it's because if he converted or reverted. I don't know what we're supposed to say. By the way, we're supposed to welcome them, and I do welcome him and his wife. I don't know what his name is, or I don't know what her name is. To Islam, all that good stuff. But did you know he I think he lives 5 minutes away from me.
He lives in New Jersey?
He lives in North Brunswick.
What?
I'm pretty sure. That's what our brother told me. He's not. Wait, so now I'm thinking.
Wait, hold on. He lives in North Brunswick, but then he flew to Dallas to Omar Suleiman's mosque to convert.
You do that for the clicks. You gotta get in front of Omar Suleiman for the clicks. But I don't know. Maybe he doesn't live in New Jersey anymore. I know that he moved to New Jersey at some point. There's a big story about it. So I'm pretty sure he's still here, and now I'm gonna be looking for him at the mosque.
Well, speaking of scammers, you know that other guy? He's also South Asian. He's Indian, I believe. He's got the light eyes. He calls himself a monk. I don't know what his name is.
Jay Shetty?
Yes.
Oh, he's a scammer?
Yeah. So right now there's recently been a article that came out about Jay Shetty, because a lot of people online have basically started to point out his inconsistencies. And there's a podcast episode called The Holes in Guru Jay Shetty's Origin Story. And now there's a whole bunch of articles and people deep diving into how he basically made a bunch of stuff up. He said that he was a monk. Mm-hmm. He went to India and then he was a monk for an X period of time. But then there's footage of him actually in London or in the UK. His dates have changed of how old he was when he embraced this monk life. All of the stuff that made him popular, the self-help stuff, was all these quotes that he plagiarized and he stole from people. And so YouTubers and other people have started to dig into it. But also now South Asian content creators are also starting to get into it, because the big thing of his fame was that he had all these Will Smith decided to become buddies with him and was his spiritual guide, which I'm well, I think we should know that maybe he's not a great spiritual guide if Will Smith took it upon himself to slap a man in public.
Now, I don't know a lot about Jay Shetty, but some of those clips come across. I've always been kind of astounded by how beautiful his eyes are.
Gorgeous. Have you seen his wife?
No.
They kind of look like brother and sister. Look up Jay Shetty wife.
You know what's a funny thing is anytime you put in a male celebrity into Google, the first thing that comes up, no, it says wife.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then the second thing is I don't trust these eyes. These are alien eyes on both of them.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. But I don't want to be stuck in a room with both of them if they're looking at me. I think that would be too intimidating. And
talking to you in that Parvati yoga voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks. So anyway, let's go back to Sean King for a second. Mm-hmm. You mentioned this last time when we talked about Dune. You were saying that you're wondering if it's going to, cause a lot of conversions and stuff.
Yeah, I was joking.
I know you were joking, but I mentioned that because of Palestine, a lot of people have been embracing Islam, because I think that I wonder sometimes if we had social media the way that we do now back when the Iraq war started, I wonder if people would have had a different view of Muslims.
Because 100%.
Right. Because they would have actually had access to real people and not just these caricatures of crazy, barbaric Arabs. Right. And I wonder if that would have also, I think that that also is kind of changing people's view about Islam and everything like that. And I mean, good for you, I guess, Sean and Mrs. Sean King. Mm-hmm. But the grift has already started, because guess what? He's going on an iftar tour, and you can buy $1,000 a seat tickets for him and some other imam to go around, one of those YouTube imams to go around and, have these dinners with them. And I'm like, why would, and it's all for, it's for Gaza. And it's what do you mean it's for Gaza? Why am I paying $1,000 a seat? And how does that money go to Gaza? Because as far as I'm concerned, you guys are just here. And there's like no information about that. But that's like classic Sean King scammery. And it's a shame because, Raheel, the number of people on my Instagram that are like, Alhamdulillah, mashallah, brother, welcome, brother Sean King. I'm like, no, what are you guys doing? Not him. Well,
if you are surprised by that, you should really hang out in some WhatsApp groups that I'm in when Andrew Tate converted.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I think that we... It's not going great for us.
Well, so here's the thing. I think you and I both are very proud of... I was saying that you and I are both very proud to be Muslims. And you undercut that with our going to hell.
No, I am very proud of being Muslim.
Yeah. And I think
I'm going to go out and say even more real. I love being Muslim.
Yes, of course. If there was a religion for me, this is there. And I'm sure it's because we were born into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure other people feel the same way about their religions also. Mm-hmm. And they should have pride in their religions, right? I think just you and I, for us, that imam thing never clicked. And that imam thing is a big part of, like, I want to say Islamic culture in America now. Like, there are, you know, there are, like, celebrity imams and stuff like mm-hmm. that, right? Mm-hmm.
There's, like this... Like, Muslim Joel Osteen's.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but they're celebrities. But essentially, it does come down to being the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know... That's just something that never works for me. Like, I don't understand how you can... Well, I guess people can. But I don't understand profiting from faith and how that doesn't screw you up. Because eventually it does, right? Like, I'm sure that dude, like, I'm sure you've seen that. Have you seen that clip of that Christian guy who says that he needs a private jet because people come up to him in the airport and he can't handle it? It gets in the way of his conversation with God.
Oh, God.
Do you know about this guy?
No. So, that's good. I should use that.
Yeah. But I think that's what ends up happening eventually. But that's not to say that's what the guys that are, or the guys, big, well, they are all guys, by the way. All the imams are guys. You know, they, not, that's not to say that that's what's going on with them, but there is this weird, like, celebrity culture thing that I just can't get behind. But I know it's a big part of.
I feel like anytime you get into a situation where there's, like, an idolization of any man or any person.
Mm-hmm. The listeners who, like, listen to my voice.
They've got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, sorry. I have a bone for them to pick.
I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. But I think anytime there's like that type of a situation happening, I think we all should stop ourselves and go, hey, this is crazy. Like, I think anytime you are in way too deep into one particular person and you are obsessing over them and you're associating that person's connection to like God and religion, we got to mm-hmm. pump the brakes on it. Because the reason I love being Muslim is because for me, it is such a personal experience. Like, it's so nice. Like, I actually, and it was like, you know, I'm 38 years old. It was not like this for me always. I've always struggled with fasting. I've talked about like fasting and how it affects my eating disorder and how much I struggle with it and all that kind of stuff. And so all those things still exist. But the thing that I have found now as an adult Muslim who is raising like good human beings based on Islamic teachings, but like very, I wouldn't say loosely based on Islamic teachings because we're not a super religious household. I like that it's so personal and it does not involve anybody else. Like, it does not involve anyone else. It's just me and God. And, like, you know, I like that. And it bums me out that the way that people are embracing religion, if you're embracing religion through the lens of, like, your closeness to a trend or, a clout-chasey thing, then it's like, you know, the only clout you should be chasing...
Is the cloud of God?
Is the clouds of heaven.
You know what? You should go to hell for that line.
The clouds of Jannah. That's something an imam would say.
The clothes of Jannah.
The clothes of Jannah. They would say, like, kids these days, they want to go on TikTok to get views and clicks. But what about clicks for God?
Anyway, yeah.
So I guess that's how I feel about him. And I think it's also frustrating me because, you know, the large portion of the population that this man is going to scam are Muslims, a lot of immigrants, a lot of older people, a lot of these, like, you know, immigrant families that exist in mosques that try to find community mosques. That is where his grift is targeting. And that is what bums me out.
Yeah, I think what bums me out is the fact that, you know, anytime that they're, what I've seen in the past is anytime anybody says anything Islamic, the community seemed, or anything that's pro Islam, the community seems to willfully ignore everything else in that person's history.
Yes,
because correct. They are pro Islam now. And well, it's like, we can be choosy, you know, we don't have to just jump on board.
Well, I mean, I think from like a religious point of view, that is a belief that Muslims have, that once you embrace Islam, like all of your past sins have been like washed away. So it's like, oh great, this person has like a new, they're starting new. Mm-hmm. But it's like, Andrew Tate is still Andrew Tate. He has not changed at all. You know, like Sean King is still going to be charging people $1,000 a seat to attend dinners with him, where we know the money isn't going to get to any Palestinian. Like, let's pump the brakes. Like, let's use critical thinking. Let's not be stupid, guys.
Mm-hmm. But congratulations, Sean.
Congratulations to him.
Welcome.
Now, I did say that anytime you find yourself going in too deep on a thing, maybe you should pump your brakes. But I have found myself in a rabbit hole, and it is fascinating because it is about my favorite topic to discuss with you, which is the royals.
Yeah. Now, I know something about what's going on, but I don't know all of the things. I just know that there's a photo, that there is apparently bad Photoshop. But we haven't discussed it, so I want you to take me throughout this whole journey, because I think I'm going to take a nap now. I'm very tired.
What better way, what faster way to spend the next 30 minutes before your fast breaks than to hear me tell you about what's going on with one Kate Middleton? Okay.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Today's specials are brought to you by Fancy Feast. From impeccable pâtés to silky broths, to chef-inspired creations. A memorable mealtime experience is always on the menu for your cat. Learn more at fancyfeast.com.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hold on, let me find the thread. What's going on here? What's going on? Oh God, I lost it. Okay, here's what's going on. Okay. Back in December 25th, so this is Day of Christmas, that was the last time Kate Middleton made a public appearance, and it was during, like, the royal family's annual Christmas walk. And then 3 days later, on December 28th, she is reportedly admitted to the hospital. And nobody knows what's going on. So from the 28th, December 28th onward, we're like, what's, not we. Everybody else is like, where's Kate? Where's Kate? What's going on? But then January 17th, Kensington Palace announces that Kate Middleton has undergone a planned abdominal surgery and she will remain in hospital. I love the way the British say that.
Yeah, in hospital?
In hospital.
In university?
So good. In hospital for 10 to 14 days before returning home to continue her recovery. Now, that seems perfectly fine. Okay, all right, fine. It's an official statement that says that surgery was planned. What's weird is that it goes on to also say that her upcoming engagements have been postponed, because then that makes people wonder, because they're like, well, that's weird, because if it was a planned surgery, then why would her upcoming events be postponed? Their calendars are planned, you know, months in advance, whatever.
Yeah.
But also in it, it says that she won't be able to take any on any public duties until after Easter, which is over 10 weeks after the surgery is due to take place. So this is, we're supposed to see Kate emerge like Punxsutawney Phil on March 31st.
Well, you know, I don't, you know, somebody else did rise on Easter famously.
Oh, right. Not just the groundhog.
Not just the groundhog.
So, so that's that. Also on January 17th, the palace announced that King Charles was so silly for me to even say that word. King Charles was out seeking a treatment for an enlarged prostate situation, which, as we know, has later on turned into cancer. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So Kate's in the hospital, or in hospital for surgery. Charles is in hospital for stuff, okay? And, oh, the other thing that was weird was that Kate's surgery was announced after her surgery, whereas Charles going to hospital was announced a week before he went to hospital. So, so that goes to show, like, that's not typically how information is rolled out about the royals.
Yeah.
January 18th, William visits Kate. It's the only time he's been seen visiting her in hospital. Okay. And yeah, that's it. And then it says, like, you know, he's, I think People Magazine states that William has shifted his schedule. He's going to support his wife. He's going to postpone some of his engagements to be there for his wife and the children. Yes, you have a question.
No, I was just going to say, did he rearrange his schedule or his schedule? Sorry, go on.
Anyway. Okay, then Charles goes to hospital on January 26th. Camilla visits him the day after, and she's in and out. She's going and coming. So it obvious is that, like, Charles and Camilla are, or Charles and Kate are supposed to be in the same hospital, but only one visit from William in that whole time. And Camilla has been coming and going to see her man, because, as we know, that is the one true love in the royal family.
The greatest love of our time.
Love of our generation. Then January 29th, the palace announces that Kate has returned home and she's recovering from her surgery and she's making good progress. However, there are no photos of her leaving hospital. Okay. Meanwhile, the next day, Charles gets discharged and there's plenty of pictures of him waving with his girl, Camilla. No issue there. There's pictures.
Sausage fingers in the air.
Sausage fingers in the air like he just don't care. Okay. All that. On the 5th of February, the Buckingham Palace announces that Charles has been diagnosed with cancer and, like, he's going to be doing, but he's still going to keep working and he's still going to focus on business, but he's still going to get treatment. Like, there's so much information about his medical condition and plenty of photos to go along with it, right? In this time, you know, Harry goes to visit his dad, all this stuff. There's several messages about the king and how he's doing. Lots of notices from him. February 18th, William attends the BAFTA Awards. And I'm not sure if you saw the picture of him saying something to a bunch of actresses, but they look horrified. Anyway, okay. There's still no photos of Kate at this point. At this point, she still has, last time we saw her was December 25th, right? Then there's some stuff about Pippa, whatever. There's a whole video about Charles reading get well soon stuff. Now, here's the weirdest thing. Thomas Kingston on February 25th, Thomas Kingston, a cousin of Queen Elizabeth, is found to be, he used to date Pippa Middleton in 2011. Mm-hmm. He is a close friend. He and his wife were close friends of William and Kate. Is found dead suddenly at the age of 45, very suspicious, mm-hmm. with head injuries. And so they're like, was this related to what's going on with Kate? Nobody knows. William is, yes, yeah, so there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a lot of information on some of these threads, like more information than anybody
you
needs.
Know what?
Listen, the point is here, listen to me. Listen. The point is,
I have been for the last 6 minutes.
The point is that there's a lot of public engagements going on, enough for these people to be coming out of their hidey holes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And none of them are, they all are except for Kate. Kate has not been seen. Then this past weekend was UK Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So Kate has before that, last week, there's a picture, a grainy picture of Kate in a car. It was the grainiest picture in the world. Everybody zoomed in out. They're like, this is not Kate. This is, if anything, this is, what's her name? Katie Holmes. It's not Kate. It's not Kate Middleton, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows. They're like, this is so stupid. Why would the palace release this picture or into the paps or whatever? It's obviously a fake picture. It's AI, whatever, or it's somebody else. Some people thought that it's probably Pippa visiting Kate, but it's actually not Kate. So mm-hmm. then... UK Mother's Day, Kate releases a photo of herself with her three beautiful children.
Yeah.
And it's got like a little message. It says like, thanks for checking in on me, blah, 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 love, C. Happy Mother's Day, love, C. Right? Because that's how she signs off all of her things. And obviously the internet is like, what do you think, we're fucking stupid? Because.
What do you think, we're busy? We got free time.
Hey, guess what? The world is on fire and none of us are interested in doing our jobs anymore. Okay?
Yeah.
They start analyzing the picture. Chock full of Photoshop. It looks like the daughter's arm is cut off. Her mm-hmm. face looks distorted. Now, there's like that obvious parts of the picture that look like Photoshop. And then there are the people on the internet that are like, they actually took Kate's Vogue picture and just mm-hmm. put it on this picture. And I'm like, guys, I don't think it's crazy that this woman took two pictures where her face looks exactly the same, because at the end of the day, it is the same woman.
Yeah, it is her face.
So that comes out. But then, so everybody's like, what the heck? It's so weird. Why is there this fake picture? Whatever, all this stuff. And suddenly the UK press says, pull the picture. They all get kill notices, which is that you're supposed to stop using an image from the royals. You're not allowed to use it anymore in the press. The royals.
Oh, so the royals asked them to remove it?
The royals asked them to remove the photo. Okay. And then they go, hold on, let me try to find what exactly they said. Yeah. So, so stupid. I'm going to try to find her message. But basically all of the media, the UK media, starts being like, we're not going to mm-hmm. use this picture anymore. They got notices from the royals saying that she, that she shouldn't be, that you guys shouldn't be using this picture. And then they have Kate send this tweet out. Hold on, I'm going to try to find it. Kate Photoshop. They send this tweet out, which is ridiculous. It says, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I want to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a happy Mother's Day. See. So now they're basically tweeting from this woman's account saying, making it look like she's the asshole that caused all these problems by futzing around with Photoshop. I saw this tweet that said there are always four people in our marriage. There are always three people in our marriage. Four if you count Photoshop. Diana interview.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. Nobody knows where she is. There's a picture of her, a fake picture. Another fake picture was released into the paps, which is William in a car. And it's supposed to look like Kate in the car next to him. But you can very much tell that the picture is doctored. It's an old picture that they added a bunch of new backgrounds to make it look like it's new. But nobody knows where she is. And now everyone's wondering where the hell she is. So after all of that, you got all the information. What do you think is going on with Catherine
Middleton? Well, so that's a lot of information and a lot of conspiracy theory adjacent type of stuff, especially like the murder or potential murder of that dude, Pippa Middleton's ex-boyfriend or whatever.
Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you one other part.
Oh.
On the heels of all this stuff happening, right? Suddenly there are the Independent and all of these UK press organizations are running like feature pieces about this woman whose name is Lady Rose Hanbury, the Marchioness of Cholmondeley, and she is allegedly William's mistress.
Oh, I think I've seen this lady before. She is she very British looking?
So British.
Very, and she has an old husband, right? I do know. I remember seeing that.
Presumably.
I think her husband is in his 60s.
Yeah, they started basically soft launching her in the press at the same time this whole Photoshop business and Where Is Kate stuff is happening. So my gut says they're getting a divorce.
You think that they're just trying to replace?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like, at the very least, I mean, it does sound like Kate did have some sort of a medical procedure or a medical situation at some point, right?
Yeah.
And you'd never know what kind of complications can arise from that stuff. Yeah. And the royal family being as stupid as they have been historically and how they treat like anything that's like legitimately concerning when it comes to like medicine or whatever. My thing is, okay, let's be sympathetic to the woman. Let's be sympathetic to Kate because you don't know.
Oh, right? Hold on. Let's just pause for a second. In all of this, I just want to say I'm worried sick about this woman. Where is Kate? I'm not saying all this to be like Kate's hiding a BBL. No, I'm worried about this woman. Okay?
That would be a scandal. That would be a scandal that I would sign up for.
Yeah, it goes the range of the conspiracy theories are she's dead to she got a BBL. So I think I'm
the
worried.
Princess's new arse. Oh boy.
Anyway. That's my point. I'm worried. I'm worried about her, okay? I'm not trying to be like, oh, what is she doing? I need to know exactly what she's doing. I'm worried that William, this motherfucker, has messed around and now I'm worried about her safety because we all know what they did to Diana and we all saw what they did to Meghan.
Yep.
We know what they're capable of. And you know what's crazy? Liz has been dead for 2 years.
Oh, right? Liz, yeah.
Right? Yeah. This whole thing is falling apart without her.
I think so. Well, I think the King Charles or the Prince Charles never really wanted a monarchy like Liz did, right? I think he knew that he had to be a little bit modern. And some of these things that they have to do, like all the customs are fucking batshit crazy, right?
Sure.
And like the stuff that she has to, the stuff that Kate has to do is stupid. And I wonder if just as a human being, you're just like, fuck this. I'm over this.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? Maybe she's just off trying to get a divorce or something.
I hope so. And I hope that she's safe in trying to get a divorce. I hope that they're not making it difficult for her where she can't. You know, I hope that it's not anything. Like, there's a lot of speculation. People think, like, well, what if she had was having a baby with this guy who died? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to. That's scary and sad stuff. I hope that that's not what it is. I feel like if there was a miscarriage situation, that is deeply sad. That if that's what she's going through, and if that's what she's going through, and then she is being forced to, like, you know, have to answer for where she is, that's really hard, right? It's messed up, and it's messed up especially because of the stuff that they made Megan go through, because Megan was having a very, very difficult pregnancy. I think Megan also was having, like, bleeding and all this stuff, and they weren't protecting her. So, like, I genuinely think, like, it's possible. Look, it's very much possible that she's like, hold on. Why does one woman get to leave and have her own life and not have to deal with all this bullshit, and I have to still deal with it? Like, when do I get a break? Because obviously the rules are, and also there's rules for the men that they don't follow. We know that. William has been allegedly cheating on Kate this whole time. So I hope she's safe.
Yeah, I hope so.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton for the stay.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Elevate your game in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, the capable SUV that features premium interiors with available captain's chairs, available dual wireless device charging, and bold new technology, all with plenty of room for your cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
And you know, I don't think this story would have been as big, obviously. If it wasn't for the stupid Photoshop thing. And that is 100% the royal, what do they call it? What do they call it?
The machine? No.
The machine, something like that, right?
Damn it, what is it? God, can you look that up? Oh, yeah. Speaking, somebody tweeted saying, all we need is John from Traders to find out where she is. And then they tweeted a picture of John saying, a duchess of deception, a mistress of murder. Also, I saw a tweet that I had saved to tell you about Sean King that said, I opened Twitter to somebody calling Sean King Osama bin Robin.
Hold on. Two B's in the Robin?
That's right.
An apostrophe at the end?
That's right. Anyway, what is it called? The system? The institution?
Firm.
The firm. The firm. Yeah. So the firm. Firm, obviously, yeah. They're all, mm-hmm. it's all messed up. It sounds like dummy firm stuff.
Yeah. It sounds like the firm has hired some new interns. And they're like, no, no, we do it. We can Photoshop. And then they just change like the sweaters and stuff. And they're like, ah, no, this is, and it's like, no, that's good enough for your Instagram feed. It's not good enough when it's for the future queen.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Exactly. So I hope she's okay.
Yeah, best of luck, Kate.
Yeah, best of luck, Kate. Also, Camilla, because of all of this, has been like, I also don't want to do any of my duties. And yeah. I love that for her. Again.
Yeah, she's just going from hospital to crypt. Hospital to crypt.
Yeah. Did you watch the Oscars?
I watched just bits and pieces, but mm-hmm. then I caught up on clips online, I think. The Oscars don't feel as big as they used to when we were kids, right?
You know what? You're right. I was also thinking that. I was like, this isn't that exciting, but I think it's also because we're so oversaturated by these people. I think when mm-hmm. we were younger, award shows and talk shows were the only time we were like, really got yeah. to meet celebrities. Now you're like, you just open Instagram and you know what they're up to. So
exactly.
It's not as exciting anymore. There's a lot of controversy about the John Cena walking out with a envelope attached to his crotchal region mm-hmm. In the nude. What are your thoughts about it?
I thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that bit a lot. And if mm-hmm. I don't know what the controversy is, but anybody that has a problem with that, I don't know, go fly a kite.
It's a go fly a kite. Well, it's a range. There's some people on obviously the conservative end that are like, this is inappropriate. I find it to be, you know, gauche or whatever it is they say about these things. And then the other side of things is also to say the way that we shouldn't be sexualizing women, there's no reason for us to be sexualizing a man like that. Like, there's nothing mm-hmm. like great about this. And there's also the thought of like, if this was a black man, how would he be received? If it was a gay man, how would mm-hmm. he be received? If it was a fat man, how would he be received? And it's like, it's obviously acceptable because it is John Cena, who is a gorgeous specimen, just like with the most perfect body, right?
Well, it's not just that he has a perfect body, it's he has almost like a cartoonish body. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so
he's
like
a caricature.
Yeah, and so, like, when I see that bit, the visual joke lands. And I feel like everybody's having a good time. It feels like John Cena is having a good time in that moment. Yeah, yeah. What I've seen of John Cena, I've watched him in that Amy Schumer movie. Mm-hmm. He had a nude scene. He's obviously very comfortable in
those
scenes. Sure,
yeah,
right?
Certainly.
So as long as I don't hear in, like, 3 years from now that John Cena felt pressure to be nude on stage at the Oscars. By Jimmy Kimmel. I don't really see a controversy. I think it's fine. I think it's all good. I think if he was comfortable, it made me chuckle. It made me gasp for a couple of reasons. One was how nude he was.
Yeah, he's so naked.
And then second, like, the lines.
His body's ridiculous.
It's insane.
Insane.
Very impressive.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I was folding laundry and mm-hmm. putting up Ramadan decorations, and I watched the whole thing. It was fine. It was good. I think the director and producer of Zone of Interest made a great speech.
Yes, I did watch that one live, and I was very happy about that.
Yeah, it's not being well received. The ADL apparently said that he was adding to anti-Semitism by making that speech.
You know,
if you're not familiar, guys, Zone of Interest is a movie about the Holocaust. It was made by Jewish creators and writers and directors, and they won. I can't remember for what they won in that moment. I think for maybe
best international movie.
Yeah, and
best foreign picture.
Was it foreign picture? Zone of Interest.
Yeah. Okay, Zone of it's British.
Okay, and And he got up there and he said, I refute my Jewishness being hijacked by people who I refuse my refute my Jewishness because mm-hmm. it is being hijacked by people who are hijacking the Holocaust to commit their atrocities in Gaza and everything like that. So he obviously made a huge statement for like a ceasefire and peace and everything like that. And people are pissed and they're like, how dare he? And people are purposely taking out him saying, I refute my Jewishness and putting a period at the end of it and using it to just like stoke the flames of hatred against anti-Israel Jews. And it's, or anti-war Jews. It's insane.
Yeah.
It is crazy. So, hey guys.
I think anybody that listens to that speech and says that this person is being anti-Semitic is just being willfully ignorant. Like that is just, you are going out of your way to remove the context from this guy's speech, right? Yeah. And also the fact of, like, you know, where he made that speech and what the circumstances were.
Yeah. And like, what the movie he made, it's literally exactly. The movie that he made is about a family that lives outside of Auschwitz that gets to continue to live their life as it is while they are literally watching and hearing the murder of Jews in concentration camps. And
exactly.
He has said multiple times in all of his press stuff, I think he won awards in the UK, he said that what is happening, what we are talking about in the movie, is happening today as we are watching the genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. So like,
I think with that, right, like you don't want to draw like a direct comparison between the Holocaust and Gaza, right? Because you know, for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
But the core of it is the same, right? Which is just, you are being, I don't know, you there's hatred against one certain group of people, there's prejudice against one certain group of people, there's violence against one certain group of people. That's the message, right? Yeah. And
you're desensitized to it. We as a humanity, exactly. As people, are desensitized to it. And that's what the movie's about. That's what that's what his speech was about. So,
and that's what we're talking about. And then again, we have talked about this also. You know, anytime, like, there's nothing in Judaism that teaches hatred like that, right? There's nothing in Judaism that teaches prejudice like that. So for a Jewish person to be making that speech, I think that is a great reflection of his Judaism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That is great for his Jewishness. So,
yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Well, sorry to bring it down at the end, but I'm going to try to maybe find one more thing that they said about Sean King that might make you laugh.
Can I give you two sports things real quick?
Okay. You got to make it fast because I got to break my fast in like 3 minutes.
Yeah, me too. First of all, Mazel Tov and Mashallah to Brock Purdy. Got married.
Oh, congratulations, little baby. I didn't know that they were allowing child marriages like that.
He's 23. He's very Christian. Do you think they had a cash bar? 900K? number two, this is important to you. This is actually going to change your life.
Oh, is it the photo of Jalen Hurts without facial hair?
No.
Because that did change my life.
Well, this is going to change your life even worse, or what? Even more. Do you know who the Eagles' new running back is?
Oh, boy, do I. My husband told me, and I sent him a gif of thighs pulsing. Yeah, Saquon. Yes. I'm very excited.
Saquon. Yes.
I know.
Very exciting.
So it's fine that Jalen Hurts looks horrible without facial hair.
Does he?
Aisha said, our cousin Aisha said he looks like the dad from That's So Raven.
And wait, is this a new picture or is this from when he was in high school?
No, it's a new picture of him.
Oh, no.
Joe. I know. It really took all the horny right out of me. But anyway, facial hair can be grown. And I know
Ramadan didn't take the horny out of you.